Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, Mike Bacsik, Reginald Adetula. And I love this song. It's a Prodigy song, but I feel like maybe today we should be firing off a different song to start the show. The Dallas Stars, at least one person in this room that would get swept, have now...
Way to go, Corey.
I don't know.
Stars in seven. I changed my mind after the first two. I'd like to now go back to Stars in seven.
Okay.
How about that?
I like it.
I thought after
I would
this
like to take all the
swept.
Credit and all the blame, Corey.
Oh, I think Corey just jumped. Oh, no, you said the Stars would sweep the rest of the way, right?
I think that was what I said, but in my heart.
Oh, no.
I was like, this team didn't show up.
You didn't
have
to tell us that.
No,
yeah.
Well,
I was trying to hype you up.
I have to be honest with my heart.
We're honest.
Uh-huh.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
The
Stars play better in Vegas. I refuse for them to come back to Dallas.
You're smart. I'm stupid.
We've seen this from the Texas Rangers.
You're
good
looking.
Don't come back home.
I'm not attractive.
The Dallas Stars have tied this series up.
11 wins on the road. They're going for it.
Man, that would be...
It's really tough for them because they have home ice advantage throughout, where the Rangers had no home field advantage until the World Series.
So theoretically, if all series go the distance, because you wouldn't get home ice against the Rangers, you can have up to 13 home games, but you would have to go the distance, 13 road games. You'd have to go to the distance
every single time,
or at least until
six, right?
Yeah, until the very last
series.
One
at home, three on the road every time.
They're trying to show, they're like, hey, Texas Rangers, we got yours. We bested you by two. Is that 13?
Yeah, I think so, but they have to go 13-0.
Yeah.
That would be, I want to say the most amazing thing I've ever seen, because I already thought the Rangers going 11-0 on the road was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. That happening twice in the same
postseason. How do we get it on the ring, though? Because you spelt road with the Rays, Orioles, Astros, Diamondbacks. Mm. How do we spell it when it starts with LVK how we have to start off?
Well, it would just be K, Knights. Because it was Rays, so it was all the team mascot.
Aren't they officially the Golden Knights, though?
Crap.
Yes. Oh, so G.
GK.
We will have to workshop that, it sounds like.
Yeah, what word we got to get this GK. Ring figured out for Jason of Beverly Hills.
We do.
I've looked, Kevin, there are no words that start with GK. So this is an unfortunate series of events.
Thanks for nothing, Vegas.
Yeah. You just pick one of the letters.
Yeah, okay.
We'll go with K.
I think K. You have to go with K.
It's a good letter.
Even though it doesn't sound like it.
And nobody knows how to figure out the hockey playoffs, so we can't have an idea who our next opponent is. Because nobody has a clue.
It's Winnipeg or Colorado, and it's going to be Colorado.
I don't know.
Oh, great.
Nobody really
knows
that.
That's all right. We own them last game.
Oh, but that is a vowel, so we're working in good places, right?
All right, so K-A, who would be the next one, Kevin,
Edmonton.
Since you're so smart?
No,
K-A-E.
I'm not answering that.
Oilers. Cow.
Hey,
K-A-O.
And then Rangers.
It's still 2-2. I just wanted to talk about the fact that we tied the series up.
Damn, Skippy.
We're trying to talk about the cup right now, what it's going to say on the side of it. So you just
wait.
Won two
straight
games.
This is
the ring. You don't get to put what you want on the
Rangers
cup.
Rangers is R.
Uh-huh.
O for Oilers.
Yeah.
A for Avalanche.
Yeah.
And K, I lose it right there. I almost got it opposite. Do you understand?
You're going to say if road play, the opposite way?
Yeah.
Dayor.
You almost got it.
So and you wanted us to play Detroit in the first round? You'd be like, holy crap.
Yes.
Okay.
Just if they win against Vegas, just call them the dumbasses.
You're gonna get a K to start because it was either Kings or Knights. Mm-hmm.
That is true. I still wish we would be playing the Kings right now, but you got the win last night. Go ahead and give me some of that cut number two right here, because this was another game where, and I could be off about this because I know it's 2-2. Thought the Stars look like the better team yet again.
Steal from Delandria. Looks to center. Another bank shot attempt. Score! Did Delandria tip it home? The fourth line of the Dallas Stars strikes. Delandria gives the Stars the lead.
Now, I want to focus in on one particular thing because we talked about this after the first two games that was particularly agitating. The first 2 minutes and the last 2 minutes of a period. Let's focus in on the last 2 minutes here. And look, I know Roope scored with the empty netter. That counts, and that's amazing. But wow. Let's look beyond.
It sounds like you don't think it's that amazing.
Okay.
I'll listen.
Yeah, okay. Let's. Roope had a big block, too, with his whole
he
body.
Did.
That has to hurt so bad.
No doubt about
that
it.
That is, like, firm, hard.
What?
The puck.
Okay.
You felt a puck before. It is not, it's just not soft. It's way heavier and harder than a baseball.
His mom got hit in the head with a puck once.
Yeah.
Like, what? She was pregnant with him.
Have I never told you that story?
At the Stars game? Threw one at her?
At a Blackhawks game.
This was, I think it actually might have been when she was pregnant with me, but and that's, I know
that?
That's going to get a whole lot of, that explains a lot. And my dad, we've discussed maybe
my
not.
Bad.
The best dad in the world.
If you just want to pass over the story, fine.
Look, we're too late. It's too late now. The puck came flying up into the stands, and instead of trying to protect her, he just moved out of the way. And the puck.
She's got eyes, right?
Natural reaction.
Come on. The puck hit her in the head. And just to show how different life used to be, when the medical people came out and everything, they rushed to her and they go, "Don't worry, ma'am. We found the puck." And so, like, instead of, hey.
So they could keep continuing play?
I guess.
It was minor league hockey. We only had one puck.
It was the Chicago Blackhawks. I have that puck in my possession. My mom gave it to me. And they weren't worried about a lawsuit or everything. They're like, hey, don't worry.
Griswold hit it up there?
We found the puck. I think this was probably before. I mean, I'm familiar with that jersey, of course. But the last 2 minutes of each period, we're going to have to bend time just a little bit. But Dodonov. With 2 minutes and 8 seconds left in the first, goal. Delandria, the one we just played, 1:26 left, goal. We talked about the Roope empty netter, as you can probably guess. That was in the last 2 minutes. When you control the first and last 2 minutes like that, it feels like odds are you're going to win the game. And they did an excellent job of scoring late in these periods.
Yeah, and you know, one of the other things they did a pretty decent job of in the first period to add to this is they kept their sheet pretty clean. Because I think it was Razor that I heard. He was like, look, and that keeps this crowd quiet. That crowd was ready to be loud, right? Like, they were ready to be excited by something. And the Stars kept, like, pushing that off until later and later and later. And so they were like, oh, man, it took longer for them, the crowd, to get into the game. And then whenever you do something like that late in a period, it really gives you something to go into the locker room to discuss and be happy about.
It was, Corey, I admit, a day or two ago, it was a tough argument.
So are you saying that teams hold off? They're just trying to keep the slate clean until the last 2 minutes?
No.
Whenever you put your barrage on?
No, not at all. I just think you get an extra boost because by the time you hit that, you're thinking, hey, it's going to be 2-2 going into intermission.
Okay.
What I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So I definitely think you're going all out at all points, but I think a lot of people have locked in, hey, we're about to go to the dressing room at 2-2. Now we're going to the dressing room and we're losing.
Yeah.
Because of something that happened right there. And it was the same thing, right? In the first period, hey, we're going to go to intermission with the lead. Now it's tied. And then going after the second period, hey, we're going to go to the dressing room and it's tied. Now we're losing. So you saw that both times really put extra pressure on Vegas. And Corey, I tried to throw it out there and I know it was a tough case and I admitted this could definitely blow up in my face. But now that the series is tied, I will still make the argument that I think the Stars look like the better team. Mm-hmm. When they were down 2-1, that was still a tough argument. do you look at the games, and you can take them all as a whole, you can look at last night, however you want to do it, and think, I know it's tied, but the Stars are the better team, or do you not think that?
Okay, so for the first three games, I never felt that way. Like, okay. And I can understand, you're probably saying for 6 minutes, the Knights were the best team.
Yeah.
And for the rest of it, the Stars were. I just never felt like they had full control over it because okay. they were behind.
Sure.
Like, when you're ahead, that's it fair. Makes you feel a lot more confident. I mean, we talk about pitchers being ahead all the time. And so that's where I never felt that confident. Last night, I felt that way with the Stars. Watching what they were doing, I felt like even in those 6 minutes, you know, where the Knights in the past had been getting something, I felt like the Stars were still giving their effort that I didn't see. I didn't see it in game one for sure. And I hadn't seen it really. I guess I did see it a little bit in game three, but I didn't feel that comfortable with it. But last night, even in those moments where, okay, we did something, now we can relax, they didn't. They kept pressing, they kept pushing, and they made it difficult, man. And from the get, was it Stone that put a big hit on Stankoven to start the game, and then Ben comes and just cleans his clock? I can't remember who it was, but then Ben steps in and just cleans his clock.
McNabb. I think it was McNabb.
And on the local broadcast, they just kept talking about the McNabb hit. They didn't show the Ben hit a couple different times. I was like, that one matters right there too. And that's a big factor because as you heard this morning with Sean and RJ and Bobby with their guest Bucci Gross this morning, he said, now that you've seen the younger players grow up, like they are playing like veterans, Wyatt Johnston's playing like a veteran, it allows Jamie Benn to not have to babysit and allows him to do things where you saw him getting Stone's face last night. He can play his game a little more.
Man, you know, I saw somebody boil it down to a great comment. I can't remember who made the comment. My apologies. They essentially
Gretzky.
Said, Jamie Benn, maybe, it said, Jamie Benn can do this whenever he wants. But he chooses his spots to make it more impactful. And it kind of felt like the Corey Seager, like, he can get fired up whenever, but he chose a spot for it. And when Ben dropped, I'm pretty sure it was McNabb, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great hit, man.
Mike, do you look at this now and think, no, I think it's where the series is. It's even. Or do you think the Stars are the better team?
I think it's pretty even.
Okay.
I would say the momentum and the better play in Vegas was Dallas by far.
Sure.
But I don't want to say by far for Vegas. I thought game one they did. Being at the game, I did feel like Vegas controlled the tempo, the flow of most of game one. Obviously, the Stars, I don't know, they were offsides at least. It felt like five times. One of them, they scored a goal, and then it didn't count. I feel like the Stars are figuring out how to get the puck. This is once again, if you're a big hockey fan, I'm not an educated hockey fan. I'm learning, and I'm liking what I'm seeing. I'm liking the game. So if you feel like I'm wrong on this, I might be. I feel like early on in the series, the Stars were having a tough time getting the puck into Vegas's zone cleanly.
I agree.
And with opportunities. And as this series has gone on, the Stars have figured out better ways to get the puck into the Vegas zone with control, with an opportunity to create something. And I do think that Thompson has been very good in goal. Even yesterday, I thought he was very good in goal. You won. Ottinger was, I think, better.
And the game before, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. So I'm learning. I'm loving it. If you're a hockey fan, I'm not super educated, but I am loving watching this. I'm staying up till 1:20 in the morning. I'm staying up and watching all of it last night and enjoying it and finding myself really having an emotional connection to the Dallas Stars.
Forgive me if Mike just dropped this knowledge bomb on everybody, but last night also when the Stars had to go on power play, I felt like they did a phenomenal job making sure they were pressed up in the neutral zone rather than sitting back and waiting for the Knights to come into their zone. They said, we're not even letting you get through. We're protecting Otter that much where we're keeping you out here in your own area. And it almost felt like I was like, man, the Stars are going to get a couple shorthanded goals if they keep doing this.
And they did get, I know it wasn't shorthanded, they did get the special teams goal via the power play. And I'm telling you, going into this series, and I realize it hasn't exactly played out this way, though last night was much better. It was the special teams where I would have thought that the Stars had complete control of this. Like we talked about it going into the series, the Stars were sixth in power play conversion percentage. Vegas, 20th. The Stars were eighth in penalty kill. Vegas, 16th. So Vegas is average to below average, where the Stars were a good bit above average. I would have thought they would have been dominating this aspect. They have not, but you did get the Wyatt Johnston goal on the power play. And by the way, good for him for scoring three goals in these two games in Vegas.
R-E-B, R-E-B-O-U-N-D, rebound.
That puck.
Stars. Good rebound.
Yes, that is absolutely
true. My wife
true.
Used to do that. Cheer.
Was, not was she a hockey. Cheerleader?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a track person.
Do they have cheerleaders at the baseball games?
They kind of do at the Texas Ranger games, not in high school.
Yeah, okay. I was curious if, like,
no, they showed up to support.
Okay.
I mean, they show up and hang out because they're girlfriends.
True. Or they want to be girlfriends.
Yeah, or the softball players.
Right.
I mean, or they play other
girl
sports.
Is going to a high school baseball game that is not a girlfriend or wants to be a girlfriend.
Maybe they just like baseball.
True.
Like,
that's
they're
true.
There for support because they're like, I don't. The girlfriend's like, the girlfriend true, or the girl true. That wants to be a girlfriend is like, I don't know baseball. And then the other one's like, I do. I'll show up and teach you or just be there for support.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Kawhi has had his struggles. The NBA playoffs has been filled with injuries. Do you believe the Mavericks will get healthy Kyrie throughout the playoffs? 877-881-1053. FrankelFirm.com. Text line. We'll do next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We ended up losing that game, Mike.
Oh, crap. I turned it off after Kyrie got up by two.
There is no way you would have done that. There's no way. All right. My question here, it's about Kyrie for a couple of different reasons, but realistically, one of the things that this NBA playoffs has already been defined by is injuries, right? Because whether you go back to the play-in and you have issues with Jimmy Butler, issues with Zion, clearly right now, if you're looking at the Bucks series, issues with Giannis, issues with Dame. So you've had injury problems all over the place, and clearly on the other side of the court in this series, Kawhi Leonard. You know, Corey, you might end up being right when we talked about will he play again in this series. And I definitely think I scoffed at the idea that he would not play again this series. And who knows? Because the Clippers are being more cautious with what they're saying, and like it'll depend on how he responds and blah, 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 blah. But like he's clearly in a bad way. So we're thinking about Kyrie. And he played in 31 straight games at the end of the season. I know he sat out the last two, but that was just because like it's all locked up. We're going to be the number five, so you play the Clippers, everything like that. Before that, when he hit 23 straight games, that was his longest streak of playing in 8 years. And then you got up to, that's which is wild, and then you added 8 more games. And the reason why I ask this is because he's been phenomenal throughout the season and to start the playoffs. Do you believe that the Mavericks will get healthy Kyrie in a playoffs that has had people injured everywhere?
I lean to yes, Corey, and maybe I'm being too optimistic. One, they need to get out of this round because it kind of wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But if they get out of this round.
I kind of am going off the assumption that they get out of this round, and that could be completely wrong.
Is he's been so healthy ever since Dwight Powell ruined part of his season. And this is the most healthy, like you're talking about, he's ever been. And he stayed healthy, and he stayed not playing through injury. Now, we don't know everything that's behind the scenes, but as far as we know, Kyrie's not really dealing with anything. I'm sure he's dealing with soreness and bruises like everybody is, but
hell, even a freaking coach got injured already in the playoffs.
I'm going to lean to yes, even though, to your point, you set out the factual evidence. History says probably not, but I'm going to stick with yes.
The only way he doesn't is if they are up 3-0 in a series and they're like, we're gonna
and that'll just be a rest,
gentleman's sweetness. Yeah. And he's just like, hey, I kind of need a break here. That's the only way. And here's my reason why. Luka's playing hurt and he needs Luka to continue playing. My real feeling is seeing what Luka's going through, Kyrie's like, there's nothing that I can go through that's going to be worse than that right now, unless Dwight Powell falls on his leg. But it's okay, Dwight Powell's not in the game whenever Kyrie's in the games right now. So like him being there, he's like, look, I got to be there just like you got to be there. You're there. I have to be on the court. So I don't think anything like that's happening. But he also hasn't done anything out of the ordinary for me. And this is weird because he'll do things where he falls and I'm like, oh my gosh, but that's his game.
Kyrie.
Some of the falling stuff that he does.
One shot between the three people that I still don't understand.
He's coming down to the ground.
And he's like, my dad would, and we've heard this from a lot of people, receivers know how to fall. Like when they catch the ball, they know how to fall and take the hit and everything. And Kyrie's practiced it his whole career. So a lot of the things that I'm seeing him fall, I'm like, oh, he knows how to do that. So I also, there are moments whenever he makes a cut and I'm like, my knees, every ligament would have just ripped in half. But this dude, he's built that way.
Right.
So he's very sharp with his cuts. But I feel like he's going to be through this as long as Luka keeps putting himself out there. Kyrie's going to keep putting himself out there too.
And not to make this sound overly optimistic, but I think you're both correct, or all of you are correct in this, that you're going to get a healthy Kyrie. You made a good point about how he's been the healthiest that he's been, but I know that would sound like possibly some level of luck, or I know some people might go to he's due. This has been a probably higher athletic Kyrie than we've seen in a very long time. How many times in his career, especially of late, have you seen Kyrie out here not only going and, you know, creating fantastic finishes, but also going up and dunking? Like, he's showing a level of athleticism that we haven't seen from him in a while. And maybe that is because he has dealt with nagging injuries that have maybe kind of robbed him of some of those electric plays in the past. But we're seeing that get to a whole nother level. And I wonder how much of that is a different athletic staff that has, you know, widely been regarded as very
one
good.
One of the best. Yeah.
And then also, like, some of this, and not to get too like ephemeral, what have you, like, he's in a better headspace than he's been in a lot of other situations as well. I think all of those things come back around.
I think there's a huge factor, and that might just be, maybe it is age, maybe it's just place that he is. But that was what I was going to say, Kevin, is sometimes when you're young, you're like, I got to get big and bulky and strong. And then you go through this, like, I need to do this and this. He looks like he's in his most healthy form in that he's pliable. He's got all those things that go along with it too.
I hope everyone's watching on the Twitch so you could see the hand movement that Corey did to go along with that. You know what, Reggie, you brought up a couple of really interesting points there. Clearly Corey's hand gesture was the best, but you brought up a couple of interesting points. First of all, for people who might argue,
stop crossing there,
that he's due, if that's the case, then Mike, I'm gonna argue, playoff wise, what you're seeing is exactly what he's due on the other side. Everybody knows what he did with Cleveland in the playoffs, right? And I don't think you have to argue too hard to say his run in the playoffs with Boston in 2019 was disappointing. And then his run with the Nets for a couple of different seasons, it was disappointing, both in terms of team results and in terms of him individually. So,
health.
Yeah. Yes.
Because wasn't he out when Kevin Durant was on the line and Harden in the game and Durant and Kyrie was too hurt to play. Am I remembering that correctly?
I think that is correct. He also had a down statistical postseason both of those years. So I would argue he's due from a personal standpoint, and you've already seen it really early on. Maybe it's because of better health headspace. Maybe it's because of better health. And he's been playing really well for the most part to start this playoff.
I agree. Now, I'm going to bring up another topic, but it's based off of Kyrie and Luka, or I will say. One of them has to get hot to start the game.
Yes.
This is four games now where the Clippers at the end of the first quarter are like, they both suck. And at some point, one of them, the way that we saw Harden in Dallas both games, and not Paul George in game three, but Paul George in game four, you're like, crap. Timeout. What do we do? Because they're on fire. And at no point has Tyronn Lue had to call a timeout in the first half and gone, timeout. Luka's on fire. You just go to timeout and go, guys, we're doing a great job. Like, they're going to get theirs, as in they're going to get some points here and there. But we have not threatened in the first quarter, especially Kyrie and Luka haven't threatened Tyronn Lue to think of anything else.
I'm putting in the call for game five. It's going to happen in game five, where I think that not just that they get hot, that actual scenario you're just walking through, I think you're going to see a Ty Lue timeout to just be like, hey, take a breath. Let's reformat because this ain't working. I think it is going to happen from game five from one of them.
Okay.
Can I talk about something that I've wanted to talk about since Friday?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
It's not anything big. I think this is actually a very small thing, and y'all might look at it and go, not a big deal.
Is it the Mavericks?
It is Mavs.
Okay.
there was a point late in the game, Harden has the ball and Kyrie's guarding him. And I don't think the Mavericks wanted Kyrie on him. I think a switch forced Derrick Jones Jr. off of him, and PJ sees it and like runs over to help.
Yeah, he kicked him out of it.
No, he actually didn't. What ended up happening was Harden thought they were pushing a double team. They were blitzing a double team at him and makes a pass under the basket he didn't need to make. But it was one of those moments where PJ recognized he saw something and he was like, that's not the matchup we want right now. And he runs over to do that, and that forced Harden. Again, I don't think it was intentional. Harden, I think, just was like, oh, because PJ, once he got there, he starts backing off and Harden makes the pass. And it ended up not being points for them. I just thought that was a heady play. But that being said, Kyrie's done a pretty good job of fitting into this defense, too. Not just the offensive side.
I would agree.
He's done a very good job, not just plucking off passes and being one of those guys that gets those crafty steals, but doing what his job requires of him. And that is taking on a lot of elbows and shoulders from Harden throughout these games, too, because these two look like they don't like each other. I kind of like it.
Let me ask you a question specifically about what he just said then. Do you think, because I think the Mavericks have done a really good job, and I think you were going down this path of not having dead spots in the defense anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, like, I can go to this person or this person, or they're all above average defenders. I'm not saying that at all. However, working as a unit, I think it's significantly harder to find somebody to pick on defensively on this team.
Yes.
That's tough to say coming off of game four, knowing that
you're
they
right.
were actively hunting Luka. But I think what you do have is you have more tools to try and combat that. Like, I mean, going back to PJ Washington, and you really hope that it would happen more frequently down the stretch, but there was possessions where PJ Washington denied a switch that they were actively hunting to the point where they finally got something, but it was too late in the possession for them to figure out. And that's good defense. And, you know, you have the tools in Derrick Jones Jr., in PJ Washington, to where even when they're trying to hunt, you can usually navigate it pretty well if you're playing on your P's and Q's so that you don't have to give them that switch. You don't have to give them exactly what they're looking for. And I wouldn't undersell Kyrie hunting those steals, because I think one of the things in game two, if I remember correctly, that the Mavericks did incredible was they got after the ball handlers of the Clippers to the point where they weren't able to initiate offense. And then at that point, that really took them out of their pick and roll in their offensive set and gave the Mavs a path to victory.
Yeah, not let them set up.
I agree with both of you. Reggie, I think they were going to pick on Luka no matter what, but they really knew with 6 minutes to go and five fouls who to pick on.
Sure.
Because they knew now they knew
where
Luka was going to let him go and not try to have any contact.
And they did.
And they did a great job of that. And the Mavericks, to Corey's point, were trying to at times either double team, but it wasn't really a solid double team at times. It was a soft double team. And then they were trying to get Luka to rotate out of that possession. And then I give Clippers credit. They would then be like, all right, fine, Terrence Mann, come set another pick. Like, we're going to get Luka back in this set. But I'm liking at times what I'm seeing from the Mavs. But to me, this whole series has been the first quarter. It's weird that usually, yes, and you got it. It was a close game, and down the stretch, James Harden makes three running layups and gets an and one on one of them, and that really destroyed you. Paul George making the corner three was unbelievable and got the momentum. Like, where it looked like the Mavs are going to win, that three-pointer was like, slow down, we still got a chance here.
And Jones was great on him.
But I just look at tomorrow night, as we'll have more time to discuss it. To me, everything is the first quarter. Are we going to be down? I say we. Are the Mavs going to be down by 15 to 25 points, 12 to 18 minutes into this game? Or will they be connected? And if they're connected, they've won all the games.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. By the way, get ready tomorrow because we got double playoff game five tomorrow. So obviously it's going to be...
Mavs are playing a doubleheader? I didn't think they did that in basketball.
The Mavs and the Stars.
Mavs and Stars are both playing doubleheaders?
That's a lot of sports, man.
And just calling it game five? Love it.
It's very confusing.
My favorite.
It's aggregate scoring. All right, coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashak.
The Rangers start a new series, and should it take this long for a star to develop?
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Time for baseball nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right, so the Washington Nationals come into town, and this is a big series for the Rangers in this way. First of all, Washington's not a bad team. They're not, I think sometimes you think of they're still a rebuilding team. And yes, they're a little bit there, but they're starting to become out of it. Does that make sense? Yeah, like when you're like, oh, wait a second, like Washington's competitive. And so I wanted to take a player, for instance, in C.J. Abrams. Now people are like, I'm just a Rangers fan. I have no clue who you're talking about. C.J. Abrams was a top five prospect in all of baseball. And he got traded in the Juan Soto trade as the guy. This is a superstar shortstop that you're getting, Washington, in 2022. Well, in 2022 for the Nationals, he hit 258 in 44 games and had zero home runs.
Soft.
And it's like, well, he sucks.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a second. He was a top five prospect. Now, maybe I guess I'm taking a shot here, but I mean, maybe he is Yerkes and Profar.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you know, just overranked tremendously. It doesn't mean that Profar hasn't had a decent career. He's had a decent career, but sure. You know, he's not what you'd consider a top 50 prospect in baseball career.
You know what potential is, Mike?
You haven't done anything.
Yes.
And so last year at age, I believe 22, because I think he's 23 this year, C.J. Abrams. He played 151 games, played shortstop every day, had 18 home runs, 64 RBIs, batted 245 with a 712 OPS. So, I mean, just an average guy. Well, now at 23 years old, he's hitting 297. It's early on in the year with a over one OPS. He has seven home runs in 25 games, has five doubles, has four triples this year, six stolen bases. So all of a sudden, this 23-year-old has figured it out. Now, I don't know if it's going to continue throughout the season. Keeping an OPS over one is really tough to do. Keeping an OPS at nine or better is really hard to do. But it just made me think a little bit about what we're going through a little bit. Obviously, Evan Carter came onto the scene tremendously and Wyatt Langford, but Evan Carter's 21 and Wyatt Langford's 22. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for these guys to develop. It's taken 100 games approximately, or 90 games exactly, in 2022, 151 games last year for C.J. Abrams. And now in year three at 23 years old, he's showing that he's a potential all-star in baseball. All of a sudden, the top five prospect that he was in 2021 and 22 in all of baseball, not top five prospect for San Diego, top five prospect in all of baseball, is starting to shine now. So I just like to tell Ranger fans, hey, I get it. Wyatt Langford's not off to the Hall of Fame career start. I brought up Gunnar Henderson earlier in the season. By the way, Gunnar Henderson hit his 10th home run last night. Man. That is the fastest player to 10 home runs in a season at this age. Nobody's ever been faster.
Is that good? Wow.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay. In fact, I want to bring this up because we just had Ellie De La Cruz in town. How loaded is the shortstop position? Again, as we got to last year and go, oh, it's in a little bit of a lull. We thought it was unbelievable, but maybe it's not as unbelievable. Well, I'm going off of WAR right now, which isn't perfect, but I'm going to go off of WAR. Instead of home runs or going off of batting average, I'm going to go off of WAR. Well, one guy got added to the shortstop list who's a no doubt first ballot Hall of Famer, which improves this position tremendously, Mookie Betts. So we forget about Mookie, but all of a sudden, Mookie has a WAR of 2.9. He's batting .377 right now with an OPS of 1.119. Gunnar Henderson, second, who's a 22-year-old superstar with 10 home runs with a WAR of 2.1. I mean, right now, I think Juan Soto might be the MVP of the American League through 1 month, but I think Gunnar Henderson would be a very close race, and Mookie Betts is the MVP of the National League. If you didn't know, Mookie Betts would easily run away with the MVP right now in the National League after 1 month. So both MVPs could be from your shortstop position. Well, let's keep going down the list of how great shortstop is. Your third person in WAR, Bobby Witt Jr.
Wow.
Your next, Ellie De La Cruz, who's very young. Trey Turner is having a tremendous bounce back year so far. He's batting .344 right now. He is fifth when it comes to WAR at the shortstop position. Sixth, you're going to see him tonight, C.J. Abrams. So he's a very good player to watch. If you're like, who should I watch on the Nationals? I'm going to watch the Rangers. They're my world champs and everything, but I don't know anything about the Nationals. C.J. Abrams is their main kind of guy that they're going, hey, this is a special player at 23 years old. Next.
Does he look like that when you watch him?
I don't know if that's quantifiable. I will say from somebody who watched him in 2021 in the minor leagues when he came to Frisco, they said, I see a major league player, but I don't see anything special. But he was like, because he's ranked special. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's ranked special, but I don't see special. I just see a big league guy. I think he's going to be a really good player. Future Hall of Famer, all-star year in and year out. I don't know. But then you get Anthony Volpe, who's having a really good second year, and you just start looking now. By the way, 18th in WAR in baseball at shortstop, Corey Seager, 18th, just to give you an idea of where you're at. So you have, just to give you an idea of what you're watching shortstop-wise, Cruz just left town. You're about to see C.J. Abrams, who's in town, and then when you go out of town, you get to see local product just signed a multi-year huge contract, Bobby Witt Jr. So you're getting to see a lot of really good shortstops recently against the Texas Rangers. But just wanted to kind of give you guys a little bit of what is happening at shortstop and how loaded it is and the guys you're getting to see.
Well, for that purpose, Mike, I just want to ask this question on this. You saw, for a brief moment, Sebastian Walcott live.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw enough of him to go special or...
At his age, special, but I don't think he's going to play shortstop from what I hear.
All right.
So he's an 18-year-old shortstop, but will not be a 21- or 22-year-old shortstop when he enters the major leagues. I think people see him as probably not a shortstop, but what's the point in moving him at 18 years old, if that makes sense?
Yeah, and I also, like, didn't it feel like O'Neill Cruz wasn't going to be a shortstop for long? Whenever we saw him, it was like, no, a 9-foot-tall shortstop. Nobody's ever seen that before.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, is I don't see him on this list.
O'Neill Cruz?
Yeah.
Wow.
Of WAR, but I'm on ESPN, and they screw me over tremendously at times on stats. So, okay, so... Next thing to look at with the Texas Rangers is you were bringing up a good point, Kevin, about days off.
Yes.
And that the Rangers had a day off yesterday. They had
last Monday.
After 17 games in a row, they had a day off. And does that mess with maybe a little bit of your routine. And I would say, man, that 17 days is just, that's brutal. Like, nobody gets 17 days in a row in the month of April. That was weird that the Rangers had that on their schedule. And the Rangers, even talking to them in the opening series, the Cubs series, they already were looking at that going, hey, this isn't a favorable schedule for us. Like, they did not set this up well. And then usually you have getaway days, but because the Rangers are so popular, they're on Sunday Night Baseball all the time. So they're not even getting getaway days. When you're like, hey, we're traveling, they're like, well, guess what, man? You're getting back from Atlanta at 2 a.m. Guess what? You're playing the Houston Astros on Sunday Night Baseball, so you're not getting into Detroit until later in the night. And then when you get to Detroit, guess what? We're worried about weather because it's freezing a cold in Detroit in April at nighttime. So you're going to play all day games after the one night game. So they're just like, man, this just isn't a favorable schedule. So I'd say the Rangers are probably looking at this and going, man, these two off days we really need. And then I guess maybe we haven't brought it up, but if you're not in the know, Cody Bradford, if you haven't heard, is going to be out for a while. So you're now missing a dude who got off to an unbelievable 3-0 start. He's going to be out probably until mid-June.
And I could not have imagined at the beginning of the season, if Cody Bradford was going to be out this extra time, you'd get that sigh.
Yeah.
You know, you'd probably be like, that sucks for him. Who's next? But he pitched phenomenally to start the season.
Yeah, so he's out for a while if you just don't know that update. But just kind of looking at what's coming into town, the Washington Nationals, this is not going to be the Colorado Rockies. This is not going to be the Chicago White Sox. So if you're thinking they're in that category, or Oakland A's, who are playing way better than probably anybody thought, they're not in that category now. They're in that category of teams that now believe they can push towards a 500 record and build upon that in their organization. And then the last thing, I'm wearing all black today because my son let me know Bishop Lynch is all blackout because TAPS baseball playoffs are starting now. I believe UIL is usually a little bit later. Like, they probably start next week. I could be wrong about that.
I think that is usually how it goes.
So I'm all blacked out for Bishop Lynch and their big high school playoff game versus St. Thomas. They're coming in from Houston. It was supposed to be tomorrow, but they had to move it up because I guess there's weather. Rain in the forecast for Thursday.
What are the prospects? How are we feeling about this game?
I believe Bishop Lynch is ranked 6th in the state for TAPS, and St. Thomas is ranked 9th, so this is a very tough matchup. In fact, I heard that TAPS might have screwed over Bishop Lynch on this matchup. They might have messed up a little bit of where seating was supposed to be. And so Bishop Lynch gets a very tough matchup. So, by the way, if you'd like to go, if you're Bishop Lynch alum, let's go. Let's support. But make sure to bring your own chair because the stands are still pathetic at Bishop Lynch. And we need to get that solved, Bishop Lynch. We have the worst stands in all of TAPS. So we should have better stands at Bishop Lynch.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Positive? And let's get let's get positive. How about that?
All right, let's get positive.
Let's get stands.
What have we learned so far from round one of the NBA playoffs besides the fact that the Lakers are out again? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.